92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
So where's the office back at Division?
In the office, baby. Going up.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Sets, fires, touchdown, Garrett Wilson. Wow!
In the end zone! Oh, what a catch! Tammy Rucker, give me that!
Fields, the throw, steps up, delivers deep down the field. He's got a receiver, a longer touchdown, Buckeye!
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
What is up? We are back. Yeah, we're not going to do a piss and moan show tonight. We're not going to sit here and wallow in our gravy. As always, folks, this is the only commercial-free Ohio State podcast. We appreciate everybody that's followed us this year, all the newcomers, all the new fans, all the new listeners. Thank you. We appreciate you. Please stick with us. We're still going to be around. We're going for season six. We're 5 years into this. Why stop now, right? I mean, this snowball's rolling downhill. Right, guys?
Like an out-of-control freight train.
Monday night.
Well, I'm talking about the show. The show. We can't help what happens outside the show.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I feel we did our part.
Exactly. We put a lot of positive energy out there week to week. We backed up every player on this team and tried to put out a lot of positive juju into the atmosphere, right? I mean, what else can you do from this point of view? I mean, we sell shirts.
Some accurate beat down to some piss poor play that you see throughout the season, but
yeah,
all in all, I mean, we're all working towards the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we're gonna say, you know, if we think something is not right, we're gonna call it out, whether it's coaching, play, recruiting, administrative. Mm-hmm. Big Ten, nice big bullseye on you. When we see something that's not right in our eyes, we're going to fucking talk about it. So, and I don't think we've ever deviated from that point. We're not a suck dick podcast just to get clicks or just to get we don't get anybody on this show to interview, so why would we need to kiss anybody's ass, you know? we're not your regular media types, but anyway, hit the supply store, folks, one more time. I just put out a couple new designs. One was the 4 Big Ten championships in a row for the Buckeyes. Just put that one out. And what was the other one? Oh, I put out a lovely ode to Dabo Swinney, a number 11 Ohio State signed by Dabo Swinney shirt. So pick those up. Those aren't going anywhere.
Can you get me one of them four finger rings on them Big Ten championships?
Four finger rings? Sure. No problem.
Good looking up.
Yeah. Yeah, we do custom designs too. My guy Tom, he just wore his design that I made for him. It was Jim Harbaugh with the clown face makeup over it. I made that for him last year.
Always a solid go-to.
That is.
And that gift's going to keep on giving. News came down this week.
Fuck yeah. I mean, five more years, right?
Oh, no way. It's one and done.
Yeah. And with what, a 50% pay cut on top of that?
That's what they were saying.
And the buyout's trash. I heard somebody say the buyout, there's like 40 other coaches in the country have higher buyouts than Jim Harbaugh now.
Oh, yeah.
Bold strategy, Michigan. Let's see how it works out.
The thing is, who cares? If they were going on the buyout strategy, I mean, well, I don't know if we're getting into that or not, but
go ahead.
We certainly can. Well, it's just like cut your losses. I mean, if you know you're going to bounce this guy in a year, I think they got caught with their pants down, and like I think everyone demanded that he goes, and they're like, shit, we got nobody that wants this job that's coming in.
Exactly. And he's out there flirting with everybody and their brother.
Right. He's like, does somebody want me, please? And nobody's like, no, I don't want his ass. And yeah, it's embarrassing for all parties involved. It's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny to me.
Yeah, it's the oddest contract extension. Oh, we got some weather here in Orlando here. Sorry. That's the oddest contract extension I've ever seen.
Neither
one of them wanted to sign it.
This was a decrease.
Well, I heard the end result is
nothing like you see it ever.
It's basically his salary's cut in half, and if he were to hit every single goal, including winning a national championship, he still wouldn't make what he makes per year the first 6 years.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know. It's what he needed. I mean, who the fuck do you think you are, Jim Harbaugh? You come in here and get all that money, and you suck ass.
Yeah, he was.
You think that's going to change him? I mean, last year
he was paid on potential. He was
quitting.
Potential wasn't met.
He was quitting last year.
I know.
He looked like he was quitting this year, man.
Seriously. That's what I'm talking about. This year.
This season. He just sounded defeated.
The players all quit. It's like, ooh, they're a mess.
But then they held on to their top recruit, the five-star quarterback. They held on to him and got some other guys. Now they lost some commits too to Maryland.
They got that Braylon Edwards or whatever, or Donovan Edwards, whatever his name is, up here that we didn't get because we took the guy that was ranked ahead of him.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't go to Notre Dame.
I wish we would have took him too. Just fuck Michigan because he is.
I thought he would have if he was gonna not go to Georgia or Columbus. I thought he would have gone to Notre Dame, but maybe they cooled on him too. You know, it sounds to me like a lot of people cooled on him late.
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm up here not far from that school. I never heard nothing bad about him.
You wonder who flows out what information to, you know, like what information got leaked out to someone to think, well, maybe these teams are cooling on him, or maybe he ruled out a couple of teams and they were shitty, you know, salty about it. So maybe they float. Yeah, we cooled on him. Yeah, maybe he cooled on you, but since you're the school, you have the,
I think he had that, you know, he was there with Ohio State, and then Ohio State apologize, can't remember his name. And it's like, well, we're not that interested anymore. We just got
Henderson
the number one
and
guy.
Pryor. Yeah.
Henderson especially. Yeah. And then Pryor. And it's like, okay, well, where do I fit in here?
Yeah, because we didn't know if Pryor would commit with Henderson already being on board.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people talking, they were concerned that Pryor wouldn't commit. But
I think Henderson's walking into a beautiful situation.
Yeah, not to go down that rabbit hole right now, but that's definitely a conversation for another day when we start looking at this 21, not just class, but the 21 roster. You know, I mean, there's a lot to dig into there.
A lot of changes.
Well, yeah. First off, though, we got to recap this Monday night game. Not a lot of positives there. We ran into one of the better teams I've seen in a long time. I would love to see a 2019 LSU versus this Bama team. That would be a ball game. not a defensive ball game. That would be a shootout. But where do you guys want to start off? What stood out to you off the bat?
Well, I'll go first. The first thing I saw, I saw our linebackers covering the best player in the country.
Yeah.
Immediately, and I'm like, why? You know, I don't blame Tuff Borland for not being able to catch Devontae Smith. I blame somebody for making him try to. Immediately it was. I don't think we had the scheme. It was hard. I don't know. It looked like we had a hard time rebounding from the biggest win that those guys had experienced. You know what I mean? The roller coaster or whatever. I don't think we didn't get the scheme right, because our line, Tuff Borland, Pete Warner should not be chasing Devontae Smith out in the open field, chasing him across the field. That shouldn't happen. Of course we're not going to look successful. First thing that poked out to me was, we don't have the right guys on the right guys.
We were totally inept. It was like Zeus was the D coordinator in that game. We were running a 4-4 half the time.
Yeah.
And you know, against teams that blow you up for over 400 yards passing, and they got the Heisman finalist quarterback and wide and winner receiver on their team, I figured we'd be in nickel that whole game. Instead, right. We go a 4-4?
Yeah, 4-3, yeah. We never went to nickel.
I don't get it at all. And I guess maybe it's because we couldn't tackle Najee Harris.
You got to choose your poison at some point, right? Do you want to stop the run? Do you want to stop the pass? Seemingly, we did stop the run if you look at the numbers. You know,
it didn't seem like it, though.
We held them to 150 yards total rushing as a team.
But when they wanted to rush and get first downs on fourth down, they do.
Yeah.
And when they
did, it didn't feel like we did it. I wouldn't say we looked good against the run, because they got what they wanted when they wanted it.
Well, when Najee is falling down for seven after getting hit in the backfield.
I know. Mm-hmm. That one play, I just, oh my. There was a couple of those.
I think that is where you felt the effects of Togiai not being there.
Yeah. Well, that was a huge difference. I mean, I just watched the first half, or no, not even the first half, just the first quarter and maybe a couple minutes into the second quarter of that game for the second time a couple hours ago. And we started out all right. I think our scheme offensively and defensively, I think, was a little bit, but obviously it got thrown off kilt after the first play when Sermon goes down.
Yeah, that's a huge loss.
But I didn't feel like we had a great game plan for what they were bringing us.
I agree. But I think a lot of it goes back to the personnel on defense.
And but then before the end of the half, we run four times?
Right. I'm not sure what was going on with the play calling at many, many points. I mean, into the third quarter as well, when we're coming out and we're running it, I'm like, dude, we're down like fucking four touchdowns. Why are we running the ball? You know?
Without our top running back who has emerged.
Teague is not the guy. We've established that again.
He's a good guy to give some carries to, but he's not the guy.
No.
I like him in the backfield. I like him in that running back room for sure.
And you got a Rusty Crowley out there who hasn't played in what? Months?
Mayan Williams' home doesn't make the trip.
With Sermon in there, I'm like, big deal, Mayan Williams is out. That actually proved to be a factor.
Yeah. There was no other option behind Teague. We had no legit option.
Yeah, you can't expect Crowley to come in and just look 100% crisp and burst through holes.
In the national championship game against Bama, when you haven't actually run a football in a year and a half?
When's the last time that guy got hit?
Sean, are you sitting down?
I am.
I'm concerned about Steel Chambers' future.
I know.
I mean, I'm very concerned. He's not injured.
What happened to him?
He's not injured. The fumbleitis. Really? I think it's the fumbleitis.
Yeah, he did put it on the ground a couple
times. He is in the doghouse with Alford. That's my
opinion. Well, and with 2 5 stars coming in next year.
There you go. That's not helping.
And they're looking right now because they're looking like, you know, we can, if you want to come in as a running back at Ohio State, you can get carries right now.
You got to make
Sermon being a fifth year transfer.
You're going to have to learn how
JK
to be
just going to the pros
and block as a freshman. Yeah. That's the hardest thing for him to get.
That's like, why that's why the
guys,
freshman
guys won't guys him. Guys guys
yes
guys guys
watch, watch Teague and Crowley and Steel Chambers all get jumped by Travion Henderson. Yeah,
he's going to need to learn to block, and that will be what keeps him. He will obviously. I think he's going to come on there and bust on the scene. He'll be able to maybe run better than any of them, but right. That don't mean shit if you can't block.
Sure.
Fucking DNs and blitzing linebackers, and yeah. You didn't have to block these kinds of ends and linebackers last year in high school. I promise you that. These are right. Different dudes you got to get in front of, and that's a mindset that is, you know, it's hard for a freshman to. You know, make that little switch. That to me is the tough part.
Oh yeah, dealing with grown ass men versus mm-hmm. high school guys, definitely different. But I think it's not a leap to say that Travion and Pryor, at least Travion, can jump these guys because Teague is not doing it.
I think Steele needs a solid chance. Give me one more chance with my boy.
Okay. Well, so continuing to talk about this game, it was obvious Fields was not 100%. I know that he tried to talk all week about covering up the injury and didn't want to let on, but it was obvious he was not himself, not getting out and running. If he did get out and run, he was looking to go down or get out of bounds. He didn't open it up, you know. I think that was pretty obvious.
It certainly wasn't his best game. I don't know if the ribs or whatever were bothering him.
I think it was more of a hip pointer. I don't think the ribs were the real issue. I know he's wearing a flak jacket, but I think he was dealing with more of a hip pointer issue, which affected his mobility.
Yeah, I mean, he took off a couple times. I wish he would have maybe a little more. He didn't look comfortable back there in the pocket for most of the night. Mm-hmm. It just didn't. But, you know, I watched it the first, not the first drive, we went three and out, but the second drive, he marched us right down that field. I thought, okay, we can hang with these.
It's hard to say, but I don't think he said they said pregame he was 95%. I don't think he was 95%. You know, he was definitely bothered, but you know, you can't really say because they're not going to tell you how much he was bothered, so you can't really judge how much it affected anything. It's probably more than anything is mind state. I think. I don't know. But
I just can't for the life of me figure out, you know, he's dropping back and nobody's, you know, if you throw one out in the flat or to somebody, Alabama's on you like that. And they got the Heisman guy and that guy's open out there in the flat with like nobody within 20 yards of it. And we're not covering him. Why doesn't Ohio State have plays that get people open like that?
I saw that too, Sean. Real quick, Joe. Sorry. But I, there was a lot of plays when they showed that the camera view from behind the quarterback, and I saw a lot of pass routes where we just ran like three verticals right down the field, and like there's nothing underneath. There was nothing.
Like
really, I mean, we were going plus stuff. Protection and running to three verticals, and they're dropping six, and right. There's like they have two for every guy we have going deep, and it was just like what. Anybody can cover that if you're just going to run verticals.
there's definitely a lack of distribution, like we've seen in a lot of Ohio State games where, you know, a lot of guys are getting involved. Chris Olave had the quietest eight-catch game I've ever heard of. Didn't even notice him. Did you? I mean, he had eight catches for 69 yards.
I thought he didn't was even
with him good ball down the field.
I thought he had a touchdown.
I mean, I definitely noticed him, but
I thought he had like three catches.
No, if you would have said how many catches you think he got, I would have said probably five.
Yeah. And they were for minimal limited games. You
know, limited, you know, production, I guess.
So, yeah, I would say probably a lot of scheme issues, offensive and defensive.
I lost you guys.
Well, it really is a ball buster, you know.
Hopefully I'll be back soon.
Your running back goes down.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Your running back goes down the first play.
Yeah.
And then you lose your All-American guard.
Exactly. Right?
And then everyone, I don't know, I think panic sets in because they're like, fuck, we got to keep up with Bama. Look, they're just going up and down the field on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's some of that.
Yeah. I agree. And I didn't like a lot of what I saw on the sidelines. I just saw a team that the guys weren't talking, communicating, you know. Guys were just kind of despondent. You know, just kind of like no expression on their face.
I know. Like, it's so different from against Clemson. And I think we were all in this boat that, you know, Clemson. Yeah. I was more excited about the Clemson game than Bama. I mean, I knew.
Yeah.
I wanted revenge on Clemson. I knew we were as good as Clemson. But it came to Bama, you know, and obviously I picked the homer score that Ohio State would win. But I mean, going into that, you can ask anybody. I'm like, look, Bama's the best team in the country, but Ohio State, you know, I actually talked to some Michigan State fans. I said, you know what? Even when you guys were good, you knew we were a better team than you. But you guys were good enough that, hey, if you can come out and punch us in the mouth, you can win this game. I said, and that's where I feel Ohio State is in this game. If they can come out, punch Alabama, play harder than them, work harder than them, they have a puncher's chance of winning. But they didn't. Coaching-wise, and I blame a lot of it on the coaching. I don't know how the Heisman winner is that wide open all of the time. All the time.
I'll give it to their offensive coordinator, Sark. I'll give Sark some credit. He got Devontae Smith in some matchups, especially running him in motion and behind the line of scrimmage in that kind of orbit motion around behind the running back. And there just was – he had steps before you even knew what he was doing, you know. And we didn't have a guy – that's the other issue. I mean, this is a two-sided coin here. The other issue is we didn't have a guy that could run with him. We physically did not have that guy on our roster. And that's
nobody in the country does, but that's fine. You can still, you know, put a guy on a man and then get, you know, safety help and you can limit the damage. But that was, I mean, that was just fucking, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that I think a lot of that goes back to the scheme. Like we talked about early on is, nickel versus 3-4. I mean, a 4-4 or a 4-3. We ran zero nickel, you know. So what do you expect when
and not only that,
linebackers?
This guy. Well, and if number nine is going to be, or is it six? Sorry,
six.
Sorry, Mr. Devontae.
No, their nine's pretty good too, I think.
you name a number.
If he's going to be that wide open, like and we had zero pass rush. I mean, that O-line shut us down, and then we're not – I mean, can you throw – I mean, blitz somebody, do some stunts, do something. Because, I mean, they let that Mac Jones – I don't think that Mac Jones is that great.
Look at what happened. All day. The one time we got a blitz in on him, Browning in the first half, it worked out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, we didn't even try shit when we were down three touchdowns. Like, try something. Try something new.
If you're going to have three and four linebackers on the field, maybe you bring them one or two, you know, in some pressure up the gut.
Yeah, because they're not doing much help in the flat trying to cover Devontae or Metchie.
No, they're just there.
And it's just unfair to put them in that spot. Like we're not doing our best job if we're putting those guys responsible for those guys.
Right. Now I want to pile on where Sean was going earlier, and that is the scheme, the defensive scheme. And I'm going to lay out a few people here. Number one, Madison, out. Beat it, old guy. The game has passed you by easily. Probably a lot sooner than this. Combs, you're on thin fucking ice. Matt Barnes, out. You're useless. You came from Rutgers,
Who's calling the plays? Well, I guess
Combs and,
who's putting the defensive game plan in place?
Combs and Madison.
And then who's calling the plays?
Combs is probably making the final call because that's why he came back to be a DC.
To run the defense, right.
But Madison was a co-DC.
Yeah, I think Alabama fucked him and sent him like the Wisconsin Ron Dane years tape. Says, yeah, that's how we played it. Like, all right, let's get some linebackers in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a perfect defense.
What kind of game plan is?
Yeah, we would have shut down Wisconsin.
we would have beat Bama in Bama when they were still running I formation
right,
in 2012.
Right, 78?
2014 even.
I mean, Mark Ingram ran an I formation, won a Heisman.
Who's that guy with the checkered hat down there?
Right.
Oh, that's Saban. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
He's up to his old tricks.
Right.
I just this week saw what Matt Barnes looked like. Now I can recognize him. I didn't even know what the dude. I never heard him talk. I never paid attention. Never.
But I think ultimately this falls on Madison and Combs. And if you want to talk about the limited defensive backs, I'll listen to that argument. But you're going back into ancient history where we didn't bring in DBs in 2018. And, you know, that doesn't do us any good right now.
Right.
What about Wade seemingly jogging on that fucking?
He had a bad season, man. Oh, I'm seeing him really low on some draft rankings. Like I'm talking picks number 70. Like end of.
Yeah, I think he played his way
second, third, second, third round.
Yeah.
Does he come back and try to fix that?
No.
He won't be back. He won't be back.
Do we have an injury update on Wyatt Davis?
I'm sure it's nothing serious. He's had this injury for a while. Like every last three games he's gone out with this same injury.
I know. I hope it looks serious. It looks like he probably tore his ACL or something. I was like,
No.
I just felt super sorry, super bad for him.
I still saw him today in first round picks.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not falling.
And Sermons, did they confirm the collarbone?
They didn't confirm the type of injury. They said it was nothing serious, and he traveled back with the team the other day. So, yesterday. You know,
I mean, everybody's eligible to come back.
Well.
But Sermons, after these couple games, he's looking NFL.
Yeah, he's already... They're saying that he's going to start training for the draft. So,
Olave, I respect that.
Yeah, Olave's gone. Wyatt Davis is like late first rounder right now. Jackson Carmen has slid to a second day guy, probably because of his performance against us.
Yeah, he didn't look
What
super
about
impressive.
The linebackers? Borland.
Oh, God.
I just... He's not an NFL guy, right?
No, but Werner is.
Werner definitely is. Werner's going to have a great career, 10-year career, making tackles all over the place in the NFL.
He's going to be a professional, special teams, going to bounce around, probably play for a bunch of teams, but he knows the system. So, you know, D coordinators to get jobs, so bring him along. Like, that's the dude I want. Yeah. He'll be one of those guys.
Look, he goes and makes tackles. Yeah. You know.
But he's not a top 100 guy, according to this list. Baron Browning is a top 100 guy. Trey Sermon, Tyreek Smith, Tommy Togiai, Jeremy Ruckert, all top 100 guys.
Togiai, is he leaving?
I would think so.
Yeah. I'm not so sure. I mean, it depends. When do they get those? They're doing that right now with their
they draft. They got like a week.
When do they get that?
They get a week to declare. So.
And they get the evaluations. It's now.
It's
allowed.
Yeah.
Pro scouts.
Yeah.
Are
yeah. I'm sure they got them, that. So. I'm sure they got that because I know that they were talking about pushing back the national championship game, and it's like, well, if you pushed it back a week, they would have like no time to determine if they want to go pro or not. You know, you're
because the NFL's not slowing down. They're not stopping for anybody.
No, they have no reason to. So, yeah. But anyways, to finish this game summary, I don't know what else.
Alabama was a better team.
Like I said, I'm not sure there's a team other than last year's LSU team that would have that it would have been a ball game with. And it for Ohio State to get up and win as underdogs twice in a row to the two best teams in the country, that's a tough ask, honestly.
Well, they just weren't as up for it as the Clemson game. If they had brought that energy. Like I said, they could have hung in there maybe, but yeah, they just looked,
that they let injuries
them get away from them and got defeated.
And injuries. I mean, I think the injuries and the COVID bullshit really screwed them. I would have liked to seen us have a full game with Trey Sermon and a full game with Tommy Togiai. Not saying that they're gonna swing a 28-point game, but I would like to see how different it would be.
Yeah, you want to, I mean, you definitely always want to have, you know, best on best. I wouldn't have wanted to play them without, you know, three of their starters. You know, you want to and say, well, you know, because it's just an easy crutch. Well, if we had these guys, well, but those guys can make a difference as far as stealing a block or getting penetration in the backfield that makes Najee Harris have to bounce outside where our linebackers are there and ready. And
Togiai brings a whole different element to that.
On a third and one, they lose three and don't get the first down.
Togiai is the strongest guy on the team.
All of those players in college, more than in pros, impact players can impact the game a lot more, the final score and stuff. So
what if Sermon breaks off at 85 yards through the heart of the South?
The Big Ten, begrudgingly, had the season this year, and I don't think they wanted to. They definitely didn't make it easy for anybody to have it. So, you know,
your guy Kevin Warren.
It sucks we don't get any more Justin Fields. I feel he got cheated, or we all got cheated by not getting enough of him. But we finished second. I mean, fuck it. We beat Clemson. You know,
we
got to reload. We got to have a spring ball get ready for next year.
You know,
because it's going to be the same people we're going to face in the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to put Ohio State, you know, I feel like in the last few years is, well, Ohio State's not at Bama.
And level. I can't hear you guys.
And we sure are at that level.
Yeah,
we're a blue blood.
And oh, yeah. I mean, that's never been a question. I mean, it's you can say Bama's on, you know, 1A and we and Clemson are 1B, I guess you could say that right now, but you know, Bama's losing a lot of guys, so I'm not sure that how long that's going to hold up. You know, Clemson just beat them, 3 years ago with a freshman quarterback with Lawrence. So, and they got beat up, you know. So, it's somewhat cyclical. What sucks is there's nobody else really outside of us three that's going to challenge, you know, maybe Oklahoma somewhat, but they've gotten smoked in the playoffs more often than not.
I always think Georgia could make a run. Maybe Sark and Texas get something going.
But how many years is that going to take, you know?
And I hear USC's up again. Well, Texas still has some players, man.
They got talent, but you know, they got to keep it in state. Right?
Herman's had some good classes. some good classes.
Oh, he's had great classes.
You're right. Talent's there, but there's no development. Zero.
Yeah, we're talking about cracking the big three, you know, in the country, us, mm-hmm. Alabama and Clemson. But, you know, it's been over 10 years since USC and Texas have been any good. What else is there?
Florida?
I don't think so.
I mean, I would say Georgia, LSU, if they get the quarterback. If Georgia would get one of these quarterbacks right, and they had Fields, and they, I don't know, and they made him unhappy, I guess. I don't know.
They went with Jake from State Farm.
So much about it is the quarterback, and you got to get it right. Yep. And that's why Ohio State's blessed to have. That room is deep coming in the next couple of years, and a few of them are going to transfer out, but
sure,
a couple of those kids are going to be really good. Really good.
You know, and inevitably, one of them is going to get an injury, you know, that's going to put him behind the other guys. You know, we saw with Burrow.
You can't just have an okay quarterback and win it all, compete late in the season. I mean, look at the quarterbacks. They're always all studs, all of them.
Yeah, it's a requisite. So I think Oklahoma, we'll see what Rattler coming back. You know, they're going to be there again.
Picture. I mean, you can name the top four playoff teams right now. It's going to be the same as it was last year.
I bet I could get at least two of the four guaranteed.
Well, you can name them. They're the same every year.
Every year, you're right. It's if LSU or Georgia has a quarterback, possibly a second SEC team, because Bama's getting in, Clemson's getting in, Ohio State's getting in, and maybe a team from the Mount West, or maybe a second SEC or Oklahoma.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's all shook up except for Ohio State. I'm hoping it's like North Carolina.
Guys, come on.
Georgia and USC.
Oh, fuck. All right, I got the 2021 National Championship odds right now.
And I
do.
But I can guess it.
Yeah, go ahead. You can. All right, here's the top four. Then it gets a little dicey. Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State. Oklahoma. So let me give you the odds, though, because that's the key. That's where you really decide the pretenders from the contenders. Bama, plus 350. Clemson, plus 400. Georgia, plus 400. Ohio State, plus 650. So not too much of a separation. Then, after you get to number five, you get Oklahoma, plus 750. Not a great separation from Ohio State. Understandable. They got Rattler coming back, and Lincoln Riley is a good coach. Then it falls off a cliff. Plus 2,500 Iowa State.
What?
Yeah.
That's the next one in line?
Plus, so you go 750 to 2,500, Sean.
Still. I mean, gosh. I can't believe there's nobody in between there. Like a Florida. Florida.
You want some blue bloods. That's where they come in. 2,800. Is Florida, 2,800, Notre Dame, USC, 3,300, LSU.
Where my money's going, baby.
LSU, 4,000, get behind Coach O.
Yeah, don't get around here, boy.
And we got a log jam at 4,000 with North Carolina, Oregon, Texas, Texas A&M, Wisconsin.
I might take that Oregon at 4,000.
No, dude, they lost to Oregon State this year, for Christ's sake.
4,000 Tyler Shuff?
Anyways, my point is, you see the top five, and then there's everybody else. You're lucky there's five of them. Usually it's only four. Georgia will play their way out of that top five. You know that.
Well, sure, it's going to be... Yeah, they see the SEC grind that they say, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see what the schedule, the conference schedules look like next year. So if Georgia gets stuck with Bama, LSU, and Auburn again, you know, Kirby Smart's going to be raising hell. Well, of course, I'm going to have three losses.
If you want to just light a dollar on fire, I can give you Rutgers at plus 50,000.
Imagine the payoff.
Yeah. If John Cougar Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I'm going to be a very rich man.
The Fighting Shianas.
So, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, back to our point, it's the same fucking teams until it's not. I mean, it's going to take a huge wave of change at USC, Texas. I'm not so sure Florida.
You've got to get an elite quarterback.
Florida doesn't have that. Emory Jones is coming back.
And then you need to have elite lines.
Yeah. And Dan Mullen's already shopping his name around right behind Harbaugh in the NFL.
Well, because he's getting caught in some shit down there in Florida, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got a show cause, a one-year show cause penalty for recruiting.
So what exactly does that mean, Joe, for the listeners that may not know?
And for me.
It'd be news to me if I knew. It's just limitations on recruiting going forward. It sounds like that's what Tressel had when he was fired from Ohio State. He was given a 3-year show cause or something like that. And
never convicted on no dope.
No, never. That's the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah, that's why when you get that penalty as a Dan Mullen, and then on top of that, you start shopping your name around the NFL, it's like you're thinking, okay, this guy may be in some fucking trouble.
Well, because usually that only comes with a guy getting fired. You know, like, so-and-so was fired today by such-and-such university and will have a 1-year show cause penalty for his alleged whatever. But never, he kept his job and he's got a show cause. So what exactly, I'm curious, not that you know or anything, but the what limitations are there and how is he going to be able to skirt around it? Because it's the SEC.
Well, I don't know how he's going to skirt around it. I don't even know what the restrictions are.
I don't know nothing about that show cause. But it doesn't sound good. And we'll see.
So he's got a 1-year probation. The program does. I'm trying to read this as we talk. Just impermissible contact in person with prospects, which happens all the time in college football. Like, accidentally meet somebody at a camp you knew the kid was going to be at, you know. So he's prohibited from off-campus recruiting during 2020-2021. Yeah, he can't do off-campus recruiting through 21. A little fine, a year probation. They can't recruit players from the Seattle area.
What?
So that must have been where the recruit was from, the Seattle area. And 7-day off-campus recruiting ban for the entire staff for the spring of 21.
How much of an impact do you think that'll be?
Nothing. He has... like I was telling Sean, he's Mullen's banned for off-campus recruiting during the fall 21 contact period. Small fine, 1-year probation, and they can't. This is the funny one. The university is prohibited from recruiting players from the Seattle area high school from 2019 to 21.
They found the King County bagman out there.
Exactly, yeah. Sir Mix-a-Lot, sorry, you can't attend Florida.
Okay.
Very specific, the NCAA, doing all their best, to be sure.
Fucking gotta love them. When do you think, long term, we're looking at a total shakeup in this whole system, Sooner than later, I think. But
it might be
5 years from now. But I think it's going to be a major. Like, what's the NCAA do? They should. Football's going to separate from the NCAA, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're leaning, and I think we're reaching a tipping point where the Power Fives just go out on their own and give you the middle finger to the NCAA. Why would you listen to them?
I think so.
Why?
Yeah,
basketball.
All they do is get in the way. Like what college football has become at the highest level, and there is a high level and a low level.
Yeah.
What it's become, like, it's not the NCAA, it almost outgrew the NCAA rule book. Like, it's not, man, this isn't 50s college football anymore, man. This is a business. We have to treat this like a business in all aspects. You know, players are going to get money as they deserve for what they do to those schools, what they produce.
Now you're going to have these like billionaires running these programs.
Well, they already are. Control. I mean, with the
CEOs of businesses are the ones that become
guys, peasants. guys.
Yeah.
Name, image, and likeness. That's coming. It's just going to make the haves and the have-nots just a greater divide. I think that's my opinion.
I don't know. I think it'll allow teams to get good again quick with money. Texas, Southern Cal, Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, these teams,
it'll help
with big money.
But your small schools, your group of fives like Cincinnati, it's not going to help them.
No. But it isn't helping them now either. I mean, nobody's doing Cincy any favors.
Right. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, just, you know, my take on the season, great season. The best team won the college football championship this year. Glad we got to be a part of it. Shitty season. I blame the Big Ten mostly.
It shouldn't
have been like this. And, you know, who knows? So congratulations to Bama. They earned every single bit of it and would have won it under any conditions, I feel.
I should say that I think I represent all of us when I say this. We owe a big thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, everybody that helped make this season happen. Big Gene, Mean Gene, getting in Kevin Warren's kitchen. President Christina Johnson.
I like her.
I think they all got in and helped make this season happen. And, hey, at least we were in the fucking fight. That's all we wanted, right? This time last year, we were like, all right, we lost. Let's get us back in that situation. And we were in it, you know?
Well, we were salty about that loss. We didn't feel it was fair. Yeah. I still didn't.
Oh, no, that was a screw job. You know, total screw job.
You eat it, and then it's like, all right. And to me, this whole year was a collision course with Clemson. We got there. We kind of peaked at that moment, and probably on that night, the way Ohio State played, we could have beat Bama maybe even that night. But we did not have that intensity, that game plan, that and some key players that just that game we weren't beating Bama. Right. So I think it was a great season, though.
Yeah.
Other than not getting the chance to kick Michigan's ass, that was kind of bullshit, but.
Yeah, that is the one little nugget that would have been nice. Jeff?
Yeah, but and Michigan's almost an afterthought at this point. Like,
oh, it very much is.
It was just going to be, we get to steamroll these fucking assholes again.
The but reckoning with Clemson was the pinnacle, right?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. We got redemption. We've proven that we can beat them. You know, we've beaten Bama once. They've gotten us once in this recent era.
Yeah.
Clemson, we hadn't gotten over. We've tackled that mountain. But now, just like Urban said back in 2012, the chase is on. And Bama's the chase. Mm-hmm. We've just got a whole new cycle of kids. These kids, where were these kids, in 2012? Like, they don't remember the start of what Urban built at Ohio State. They weren't they weren't hearing it. And most of the kids we get from around the country weren't even knowing about Ohio State until they got to high school.
Right.
So, but nothing's changed, man. we saw Bama up close and personal and realized we gotta be better. So the chase is blown again.
Yeah. It's almost good to have that measuring stick, you know, facing your enemy, losing, seeing what they do, and then now you got a goal, right? Like we did with Clemson last year. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
How amazing, though, Nick Saban. I mean, good gosh, man. You deserve every accolade.
I told Rebecca before the game. I said, is he really gonna win his fucking seventh tonight? Like, I think I just don't think like you shouldn't just be, you know, given your seventh fucking national title.
You want to hear something funny?
And he didn't win any until like 2006 or something like that. Seventh.
Right. He won every other year.
Every other year. On every
Six and 12.
That's not. You want to hear
something
bad.
Funny? You want to hear something funny though? 12 years ago, fucking, I'm sorry, a name just fucking slipped my mind. God damn it, Michigan coach, West Virginia coach, Rich Rod turned down
Senior Rodriguez. The
job. He turned down that job 12 years ago before the AD flew to Miami and insisted that Nick Saban become their coach. Rich Rod turned that down. Now Rich Rod is taking a OC job with like UL Monroe or something. Wow.
Yeah. And if fucking Dickhead Saban would have taken Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, he might have never came back to college football.
And Bama was in the dumps really before Saban. I mean, Bama wasn't shit for a while.
They were the laughing stock when they had the dude that got the whores, the first night in town.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
It's rolling, baby.
The 90s and the 2000s were not nice to Alabama. That was like a 20-year stretch.
Yeah, total shit show. They won it in 92 with Stallings.
Right.
Which was I remember that game too. I love that game, beating up on the Hurricanes with Gino Toretta. they had a 20 year drought, like kind of our 80s and 90s was.
Only they had like sub 500 seasons.
Yes. They had recruiting, they had a lot of restrictions. They were on penalties and shit too. Yeah, we've never had lulls.
That was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, we had some. I remember some 500 seasons. The late 80s.
Mike Rice, was that the guy?
Ohio State's been the most bulletproof program in college.
Oh yeah.
Oklahoma's
close, where they don't implode for like long stretches, like 10-year stretches. And you know, Michigan kind of used to be bulletproof. And Texas used to be bulletproof, and USC, and Miami and Florida, I felt there at least for a while. But I mean, all those programs, like, geez,
when you get
fell off the earth.
When you get that head coaching change wrong, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Look at we went Woody, Earl, Coop, Tressel, Herb, Day.
Boom.
Look at what Michigan had. Look at what USC had. Look at what Texas had.
I think there's a molar in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's very molared.
Molar owned us.
He was only there a short term. But, yeah, you're right.
Anybody, I don't know. Those are the Cooper years.
I mean, but look at how many, when you start stacking bad coaches on top of each other, look at how quickly USC and Texas can go sideways, you know. Like I said earlier, they haven't been anything for 10 years.
Well, what people are bitching about is now it used to be able to get out of that, but now with this playoff, there's four teams that get to go to the playoff, and all the talent accumulates on those four fucking teams because they want to play on national TV and win championships. Yeah. If you don't go to one of those four or five schools, you're not playing for championships, period.
It's true. Yeah. It's kind of cannibalizing itself, those teams.
Yeah, the cream's rising, right? So how do they bring it back down?
Is not the answer. You can't expand the playoff.
You're right, Joe. You're right. Just saying, let's put more teams in. No, I'm all for expanding. You're right.
You just want to have blowouts in the playoffs?
You just did.
Yeah, and the national championship game has been a blowout.
Anything can happen. We've got blown out by Iowa. Blown out. You know, so, I mean, it's football, and you play, and if a UCF or a Cincinnati or a Boise can, you know, catch fire and get a couple nice bounces and knock off a fucking Bama or Ohio State, that shit's gold, man.
How often is that going to happen?
Not often. That's what's going to make it so fucking awesome when it does.
Once a decade?
I don't know.
But are we all in agreement, though, that they're going after the money, and the money is with more teams eventually? Can we all agree on that? Well, we may not agree with the motive, but that is going to be the motive.
Or figure out a way to make all the conference championship games like the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. I'm thinking take off a regular season game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To get these teams.
That's my other point is, look at how many guys were going down in these last two games. Not just Buckeyes, but both teams. Look at how many guys were fucking laid out on the field. Both the Clemson and the Bama games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you want that?
Well, Devontae Smith, he busted his finger or shit.
Right. Sermon goes out first play of the game. We had, forget COVID, but yeah, Devontae Smith got hurt. Mac Jones got hurt. You want to turn it into like just a game of too deep?
Well, I mean, we need a whole nother podcast to discuss, the future plans. I mean, but yeah, there's a lot of options though. I mean, they're going to chase the money. The college football playoff. They know where the money's at. They're gonna go get more.
We have scarlet and gray glasses on. This playoff, yes, we love it. It works for us. We're in it almost most of the time. When we're not, we're like fifth, and we get an argument, and be pissed about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if it goes to eight, we're guaranteed
because
it.
Because we're one of the few. Yeah, eight, we're almost guaranteed in. Depending on how you set it up, mm-hmm. But. For the rest of the country, I don't know if they're loving this playoff system.
And you know what, Sean, and they might not be. But
Clemson have won 88% of the playoff games, of all the games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Bama, and Clemson have won 88% of them or something like that.
Right, yeah.
So do they take a certain number, like whatever the top 20, 30 schools, and then they play for their own trophy, and then there's another trophy for the second tier Division One.
Do we separate it that much? To me, down the road, it probably goes to something like that, super conferences or something like that. I don't think that's out of the picture. I think it's probably.
It's like the heavyweight title belt and the Intercontinental Champion in WWF.
I think the Intercontinental Champion was like the second grade. I think Power Five breaks off, Group of Five breaks off, and they have their own national championships amongst them.
That would make sense. That would probably solve more issues than expanding the playoff would.
But they get their own playoff. You get more football actually with two separate Final Fours, right?
Sure.
So you got more games, and obviously the Group of Five is not going to get the same ratings as the Power Five, but they're going to get good ratings, especially if they're on. If you schedule them right, where they're not going against NFL or
I don't know if Power Five. Watching Cincinnati versus Coastal Carolina, man.
I think a lot of people watch Cincinnati, Georgia.
Timing too, because if you put it on New Year's Day, whatever. But if it's, and I'm guessing that Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina were like the highest rated of the two, the highest two rated of that whole spectrum of teams, right?
Right.
Okay. So I would, if it's not going against, if it's not on the same time as the fucking Rose Bowl is or a semifinal right. game is or an NFL playoff game, yeah, I'm watching that game for sure. Yeah. I mean, if okay, you put that on primetime one night and then
it's Coastal Carolina versus
that's the Friday night primetime game, and then Saturday night is the big boys. I mean, it'd fucking crush.
Yeah. We get homerism because we're Ohio boys, and we'll watch that Cincinnati, and we kind of root for that, you know. Other than Ohio State, it's like, all right, go Bearcats. But
I mean, what are all these
Carolina versus Northern Louisiana? You're not watching it.
All right, Joe, Division I football schools, I'm guessing 132, 133 total in the country.
So I think it's 127.
127 is it? Okay, so we were dead last in pass defense.
No, we were 122nd.
Okay. Just slid in there. Okay. So what are these other 130 or 127 teams going to do? 124. Minus us three, Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, pencil those three in. So what are we going to do with these other 120 schools or whatever? How are they going to compete for anything?
Exactly. That's why I say group of five has their own Final Four. If you want to use the existing bowl structure, you can.
You can definitely make the bowl games semifinal games.
I don't have this all drawn out.
I know, but that's okay. My head here is thinking, well, we don't need to see 6-4 versus, you know, 7-5 teams, just two fucking teams that finished in sixth place in their conference. Make it a playoff game. Make the fucking Alamo Bowl or the Copper Bowl, whatever the fuck it's what so Sun Bowl.
Play, UCF make can play Cincinnati if they're both undefeated or, you know, the top two teams in the group of five division.
Yeah. You can make the lower grade bowl starting in December. Your semifinal round, or whatever your bracket is.
Right.
However, shit, you could put in. Now, if you're going just group of five and power five, power five, you wouldn't want more than. I think you can stay with four teams if you're only dealing with.
Nah, you need to go. The winner of each conference should go.
Or do you go to.
Period.
Okay, so make it five, and then you get a first round bye. Number one team gets first round bye.
Nah, I like eight.
I do like eight because you can go home games. I think then if you did eight, you could even go, you know, the higher rated team gets the home game. Second rounds are bowl games in whatever locations.
All right.
Fuck yeah. Exactly. Get on it, NCAA. But see, the NCAA, there's no leadership. They've done zero fucking nada.
Yeah, we're just talking into the air, and this is not going anywhere because these guys have no give a fuck.
Their money.
The problem is,
you know how much money we got.
The bowls are tied in with the NCAA. The college football playoff really isn't tied in with the NCAA, but they're tied in with the bowls. So the bowls are, you know, coming and going, you know, making the money and getting all the inside shit. So there needs to be a bridge between the NCAA and the college football playoff. And the
That's why it makes it easier to just carve out the NCAA.
Yes, because then we don't need.
Cut
because
ties.
We can. Chop. New bylaws can be written in a weekend with a fucking one of those legal departments that, you know, they can put together. You know, we don't need the NCAA's fucking 10-inch fucking thick rule
book. I'd love to see two conferences.
It's not the best
teams in the country. It's, you know, in one conference you got Texas, Oklahoma, USC, Oregon, Alabama, and, you know, then you got Ohio State, Penn State, Clemson, you know, just powerhouses up and down two conferences. You play that out and those guys, and all the talent will go to obviously those two conferences. But fuck it, give me the best product you got, man. Fine.
Yeah, that's what it's ultimately about is getting the best product on the field, on TV, and it, I guess there's some level of you want to keep it fair-ish across the board, but that's only, you know, goes so deep. But
well, you know how, yeah, you know, And never mind, Joe. Never mind. It's a whole other podcast. I will do an hour of this topic for sure.
Yeah, I think we should. I think over the coming weeks, you know, we're going to take some time off, and we're going to look at recruiting coming up here. We got signing day, the official signing day coming up early February. And I think we need to look at the 21 Buckeyes. The 2021 roster, guys coming in. We got guys that aren't even on campus yet. And we
Some guys are, though. Some guys are.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, like I said earlier, thank you to the 2020 Buckeyes. We appreciate everything from everybody. And wish you guys all the best. To our fans, we appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, we're going to take a little time off for a couple weeks, and we'll come back, talk recruiting, talk 2021, hopefully a spring game. That would be nice, huh? It's been a while.
Yeah, we need spring. We need spring football. New quarterbacks coming in.
There you go.
We got to have spring football.
Next year's going to be a regular year.
Everybody needs spring football. I'm just saying, we're really going to need it to be able to stay on the right track.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you joining us. And
no problem, brother.
We'll start off on a new six. Go Bucks.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.